too want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It is an honor to be here. We have ties here, but yet I've never been here. But it is such an honor to be here. Dave has meant a lot to me, not just me personally, but to us as a congregation. He's walked with us through some difficult times, and I really cherish him as a dear brother in Christ. So I cherish you all, because I know when he comes to Indiana, it's a sacrifice on your part of allowing him to serve our congregation. So I thank you, and I bless you for allowing him to serve. When Eric texted me last night and asked me what my title was, I don't always have titles, but thankfully the Lord had kind of put something in my mind, because we were sitting at Sight and Sound, and I would have probably been scrambling around in my mind trying to get a title. So God is good. But the title is kind of a dark one, Identity Theft. And I don't want that to be our focus, because there's so much more. But on the other hand, I want us to be aware of it. Identity. It's the fact of who we are or what a person is. It's a core. It's an unavoidable part of our lives, our identity. Sometimes we allow... Sadly, sometimes we allow the sum of things, sum of happenings in our lives to become our identity. Sadly. Sometimes we allow people around us to dictate our identity. Maybe friends, parents, family, coworkers, siblings. Sometimes we allow things to define our identity. When I was younger, I had this GT Mustang that was my identity. Trust me, I spent a lot of time on that identity. Every Saturday, probably right around 5 to 6 hours of washing and preparing my identity, making sure that everybody knew who I was. It can be in our homes, it can be our businesses, it can be our accomplishments that become our identity. But yet these identities are so many times so fickle, so fleeting. There are some in society that are trying to lead us to believe that even parents should not impose an identity on their children, in the form of not even revealing their gender, wanting to keep it neutral so that the child can choose for itself. There's colleges that are getting rid of gender-related titles, saying these titles may put the wrong identity on someone. And sometimes we look at that and we become frustrated and it angers us. But I believe if we look at the true meaning or the true where that comes from, I believe it is a society who is making these decisions through pain. Pain that was associated with their identity. And so not having the solution, they shy away from any identity that someone may put on them or a situation may put on them. They shy away from it. Or maybe they even establish the idea that if they don't have an identity, maybe the pain won't be there. Identity, the fact of who I am, the fact of who we are, a core, unavoidable part of our life. So we look at identity theft, and I think in this day and age, we're all aware of what that is. The definition is a fraudulent acquisition and use of one's private identifying information. Fraudulent meaning to obtain by deception. In 2018, there were approximately 14.4 million identity thefts victims. This is according to Comparitech. It's a problem. If you're at all in the digital world, you know it's there. You know that it's around you, or the possibility of it. But I'd like to compare that identity theft that we live in, and as we deal with our information, and as we do business or whatever it may be. Friends, this morning, we also have a spiritual identity. And that is my focus this morning, that as we spiritually grow, as we spiritually move about, there is one that desires to steal your spiritual identity. And if we really think about it, our identity as far as doing business is not near as dangerous as losing our spiritual identity. That is so precious to us. Our spiritual identity, where we identify, what we identify with. In the early 1970s, a social scientist named Philip Zimbardo led a team of scientists from Stanford University in an interesting experiment. The team built a mock prison in the basement of the university. If I remember right, the cells were like 6 by 9, so very small. Scientists placed advertisements in local papers looking for volunteers to help with this experiment. But as they interviewed people, they looked for people who were very stable, very secure in who they were. They had goals in mind, that they were focused. And as they chose these participants, half of them that were selected were to be prison guards. They were given military-style uniforms and dark sunglasses. They were told that their responsibility was solely to keep order. And the other half became prisoners. They were arrested in their homes, cuffed, brought to a real police station, fingerprinted, then blindfolded for a trip to this mock prison. When these people arrived at the prison, they were stripped of their clothing, had all their personal belongings removed, and were given prison clothes, which consisted of nothing more than just a smock-type garment. There was something about that garment. It had a number on it. Each prisoner had to be called out only by his or her number. And they could only refer to themselves or to another by their number. You see, that number became their identity. In post-interviews with the prisoners in the experiment, they confessed that when their identity became a number, they felt helpless and hopeless. 4 prisoners were pulled from the experiment early because of emotional breakdowns. Now remember, these were stable people. They were emotionally sound. But 4 people were pulled because they were broke down emotionally, including extreme depression, crying, rage, and anxiety. Other prisoners incited rebellions and riots against the guards. You see, when these mock prisoners forgot who they really were, they became depressed. Their self-perception impacted their thinking, their attitudes, and ultimately their behavior. When they began to believe that they were criminals, they actually acted like criminals. One of the inmates literally believed this to be true. He really believed that he was a bad person. All due to the constant insults that these guards were pronouncing on him time and time again. Not until they removed him from that situation and stated his name and reminded him of who he really was, only then did this man stop sobbing. The experiment was intended to last 2 weeks, but Zimbardo shut it down after 6 days because of all the chaos that was ensuing in this mock prison. Does anything sound familiar in that story? There is one who wants you to believe that you are just a number. There is one who wants to take your true identity away. There is one that wants you to live under a label. Loser. I'm a fraud. I'm a failure. I'm insignificant. I'm ugly, and you know the list goes on and on. But there's this common thread of language that not only the prison guards had on these prisoners, but also the one who wants to steal our spiritual identity, our true identity. There is one common language that was spoken, and that is worthlessness. Friends, this morning, Satan wants you to feel worthless and alone. That is his goal in taking your identity. That's why I don't really like that being the title. But I want us to realize that it is happening. I want us to identify it in our own lives, that when these thoughts come across our minds that I don't amount to much, I have no value because of this, this, and this, I want us to realize where that's coming from. Because everyone that is here this morning and across this world, everyone that is created has a purpose and has a specific value. Young people, thank you for being here this morning. Children, praise God you're here. I love the chatter of children in a service. It means there's life. But this morning we want to shift the focus because of but God. Because of but God. There is someone saying to you this morning, you do belong. There is one that's saying you are a child of the King. There is one that is saying you can approach the throne. There is one that is saying you are loved. There is one that is saying you are chosen. There is one that is saying you are his workmanship. And that you are hidden in him and defended by him. He is saying that he cherishes you. He bought you. And I don't intend for young people to understand this, but when I became a father, the whole idea of the Heavenly Father giving His Son took on a whole new meaning. When you think about, it's hard enough just sending our children to school, right? But when you think of sending your only son to die for people who do not love him, it's unbelievable. There is someone that has raised you to a new life. There's one that gives you a spirit not of fear, but of power and boldness. There is one that sanctifies us, and we are justified by Him. There is one who has made you and I an heir to the kingdom. Do we truly grasp what that is? An heir to the kingdom. There's some verses here I'd just like for you just to sit back and soak it in. If you want to grab to the sides of your seats, go ahead. Because there is so much in these verses that it is just, it grips your heart when you realize what Satan really wants to rob us of and then what our Heavenly Father wants to give us. What He truly desires to give us. If you're a father here this morning, you know, you kind of get a glimpse of just the love that you have for your child and how much you want to give to them. That is so small. Our Heavenly Father is just longing for His children. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power. The right, the privilege to become children of God, to those who believe on His name. Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. A child of God? A child of God? The one who created the universe with His voice? I'm a child of His? Galatians 4, 6, and 7, and because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit, His Son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Just the first part of 17 there. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And grace, that's a whole nother subject that we could get into. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds expensive. Probably because I don't have any. But silver and gold has value, my friends. But He's saying we're not, that's not what we've been bought with. That's what not what we've been redeemed with. Let me back up. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now there was a saying, I'm not sure who said it, or who the author is, but this is very key. Something's worth is what the highest bidder is willing to pay in the open market. Let me say that again. Something's worth is what the highest bidder is willing to pay in the open market. Now let me read 1 Peter 1:18 again. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's the highest price, my friends. That's the highest price, and you were, that's what he gave to redeem you and I. There are so many verses that are just exploding out of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Do you hear a different language? Do you hear a different language, a different expression in those verses? Before we talked about the one the thief who's out to destroy, the prison guards, it was a language of worthlessness. But when you look at the passages, if you look throughout Scripture, what God is saying to you and I is we have worth, and we are worth so much. Lots of it. Our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, wants to solidify your identity. Why? Because your Father cares for you. I believe David recognized this when he reflected in Psalms 139, just going back and looking at how he was made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I challenge you and myself together. Go back to your Creator to find your identity. Several weeks ago, I used Hagar in a message. And her character, her situation still just is in my mind. And as I was thinking of identity, and I was thinking of her situation, being hated, being a slave, being an Egyptian, carrying a child, not because of her desire, but because of the lack of faith of another one, of some other people, Abraham and Sarah. But we look at her situation and we look at her helplessness. What do you think was her identity as she was fleeing out into the desert? You can about imagine. As a slave, as even a woman in that culture, her identity was pretty much worthless, feeling worthless. If you read the account in Genesis 16, how the angel asked her, "Where did you come from and where are you going?" See, he was asking her her origin and her destiny. Two important things when we think of our identity. Now we know he knew where she came from, and he knew where she was going. So why did the angel of the Lord ask Hagar that question? Because you see, when someone is feeling of no value. They have no origin, and they have no destiny. But I challenge you to read the account, Genesis 16. If you listen to the promise that was made to him or to her, it was the same promise that was made to Abraham, that her seed, that her children would be many. There was a blessing pronounced upon her. In Genesis 16, verse 13, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" This woman, all of a sudden, had an identity, because she met her Maker. Her Maker, the one who created her, the one who put her on this earth for a purpose and a plan, all of a sudden, when she seen him, when she had a face to face with her Lord and Savior, it gave her identity that no situation, that no owner, because she was a slave, could ever take away. Friends, this morning, that is where we get our identity. That is an identity that lasts, carries us through the tough times. That is an identity that gives us value, that gives us purpose. Identity, the fact of being who or what a person is, a core, an unavoidable part of all of our lives. Identity theft, it's the fraudulent, the deceptive acquisition of one's personal, private, identifying information. Satan is an identity theft. He's a thieving. He doesn't care who it is, how old or how young. He is out to rob that of us. In the digital world, there's a company called LifeLock. Their purpose is to protect, to monitor, to warn. And I'm not doing an advertisement here, but I thought it was interesting of what their purpose is. LifeLock. To protect, to monitor, to warn, 24/7 support. They specialize in identity restoration. But it is expensive. We too have a LifeLock. We too have protection. We too have someone who monitors. We too have someone who warns us. We too have 24/7 support. We too have one who specializes in identity restoration. The coverage is expensive. But friends, this morning, it is paid in full. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. It is paid in full. The protection that we need, the support that we need, the restoration that we need has been paid in full for you and me. It doesn't matter who we are, what we went through, what burden we're carrying. Our Lord and Savior is in the restoration business, and He's good at it. The best. I am advertising now. Oh, friends, we do not need to fear. Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. Young people, older people, parents, fathers, mothers, We all need to know where to go to find our identity. Fathers and mothers, fathers especially, I want us to challenge you this morning is to guide your children on where to go for their identity. I'm afraid too many times our children are watching us as fathers and they're seeing our identity, our fulfillment in our jobs, in the homes we created or the things that we do, the vehicles that we drive. And when they enter into adulthood, they go for that also. And when the truck rusts out, you can tell I drive a Ford, right? Actually, I don't. I drive a GMC. It rusts too. But when that rusts out, gets old, or the new truck comes out, all of a sudden that truck don't hold that value anymore in your life because you see that new truck sitting at the dealership. It's a constant battle. There are things that are grabbing us for us to find our identity in. But there is one who is the only one that can truly give you a rock solid identity, and that is because he has the owner's manual. He knows you. He knows what you've gone through, and he knows what you need to make it through. He has a plan that is specialized just for you. I challenge you, challenge myself, what are we finding our identity in? I challenge us to remember that there is one out there who wants to steal our identity. He is ever so busy. But friends, this morning we have a lifeline. And we have a Father who loves each one of us. Hang on to that. May God bless. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I don't know, do you stand or not? You can stand. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We feel so unworthy. The price that you paid, the distance that you are willing to go. And Father, that when you died on the cross, that was not just a one-time act, but you are still involved, you are still interested in our lives today. Lord, as we leave this place, as we go into the real world, so to speak, as we go to our workplaces, our homes, schools, Lord, wherever we may find ourselves, Lord, help us, direct us, help us to always long and to desire to find our identity in our Lord and Savior, in our Maker, in our Father. Lord, most of all, so that you would be honored and glorified. Lord, that those people that we work beside, those people that are in the supermarkets, those people that maybe even take our parking spot, would be able to see that this is a different person. This person walks on a different beat. Lord, that there would be something so different in us that it would draw people to you. To see in us an identity that is so sure, so stable. Lord, help us to be a light. Help us to be that light in a place that maybe no one has seen light for a while. Lord, let your identity shine through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chorister.